In Luke chapter 2, in verse 21 and following, we read about the events following the birth of Jesus Christ. In verse 21, we read, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, awaiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And so at the time of our Lord was born, you know, the Jews regarded their own nation as the chosen people. You know, most thought that they were the chosen people, they were bound someday to become masters of the world. To bring in that day, some believed a great victor would come. Some believe there would rise another king like David, and all the old glories of Israel would revive. Some believe that God Himself would break directly into human history by supernatural means and restore Israel to some great place of prominence in the world. But in contrast to all that there were a few Jews who were known as the quiet in the land. They had no dreams of violence and power or armies and chariots and things like that. They didn't think about those things. They didn't dream about those things. They had no delusions of grandeur. They believed in a life of constant prayer and quiet watchfulness until God should come. All their lives they waited quietly and patiently upon God, waiting for the consolation of Israel, the salvation the Messiah would bring. There are several passages in the book of Isaiah that refer to this. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 1, there the prophet wrote, comfort ye my people, saith your God. He is going to bring comfort to his people. In Isaiah 49 and verse 13, there it says, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his affliction, his afflicted. And then in Isaiah 52 and verse 9, again it says, break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. Now those passages, of course, are dealing with the time in which the return from captivity would take place. But ultimately, the ultimate fulfillment of those prophecies came in Jesus Christ and the comfort and the peace that He brings. And so they were waiting for the consolation of Israel. They were waiting for the ultimate fulfillment of that promise from God. Now after His birth, when Mary's purification was ended, Joseph and Mary, they brought him to Jerusalem when he was 40 days old. If you do the math looking in Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, We're not going to read that. It's already quoted here in our text to a large degree. But basically, the purification would have taken place 40 days. He'd be 40 days old at this point. He's already been at the eighth day circumcised and officially given his name. And then the rest of the purification period takes place. And so he's 40 days old at this point. Joseph and Mary, we see something about their financial status. You know, they were very poor. They offered turtle doves or pigeons. You know, the requirement of the law was for them to offer a lamb or a goat of 1 year old and perfect. But because there was an allowance made for the poor that they could give two young doves or turtle doves or two young pigeons. And so they offered that instead of the lamb. You know, while in the temple, they met an old man by the name of Simeon. Simeon seems to have been one of those who were the so-called quiet in the land. He was waiting for the day when God would console or comfort his people. God had promised Simeon through the spirits that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. You know, whether he'd already heard from the shepherds or from someone else about the birth, we don't know. But the Spirit led him to the temple. And while there, a peasant woman comes in and takes her infant in his, he takes her infant in his withered arms and praises God in a beautiful hymn, which is now known as the Song of Simeon. Simeon, like all faithful Jews, was waiting for the Messiah. He was waiting for the star of the house of Jacob. And the baby Jesus, that great king, he recognized that great king and he was glad. Now he was ready to depart this life in peace. So today's lesson, I want us to notice what Simeon saw when he saw the Christ child in Mary's arms. The first thing I want us to notice is that Simeon saw salvation. In Luke 2, verse 30, remember he said, "For my eyes have seen thy salvation." Although Jesus was but 40 days old of age, Simeon recognized him as the one who would bring salvation to mankind. You know, this is exactly what the angel announced to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Remember here, the angel appears to Joseph, tells him that his wife is going to be with, or that Mary, not be afraid to take her to wife, that she is conceived of the Holy Ghost. It says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared and said unto him a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And so it's exactly what the angel announced. The same thing that Simeon saw. He saw salvation. You know, Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, was told that John would make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You know, look over in Luke chapter 1, verse 17. Speaking of the child that was going to be born to Elizabeth. "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias," or Elijah, "to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Notice what Zechariah went on to say in verses 67 and following. It says, "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he spake by the mouth, of the holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenants, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, and holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. And so as Zacharias is blessing his child John, he knows that his mission is going to be to go before the Holy One, to go before the Messiah, to make straight his paths. You know, nearly every phrase that Zacharias makes here is borrowed from the Psalms and the prophets. You know, John spoke of the salvation that Christ would bring when he came into his mission. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, we read about the work, the early work of John the Baptist. And in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his paths straight." And so John spoke of the salvation that Christ would bring. His father spoke of the salvation that would come following John. Now, so Simeon saw the fulfillment of that. He saw salvation. He saw the fulfillment of prophecy. In verse 31, notice what he said. He says, "Thou hast prepared before the face of all people." He's had a plan in place. It's been prepared. It has been prophesied of. You know, the Jewish scriptures were known among all nations, and all people were acquainted with the Hebrew expectations of the Messiah. Simeon saw in the babe the initial step of God toward fulfilling all of these Old Testament prophecies. You know, so many people, they look to that Christ child, that infant in the arms of Simeon, and they say, that is our salvation. And yet it is the means of our salvation. His death on the cross is what brought about our salvation. Now, after Jesus was crucified, after he was buried, and after he was resurrected, Jesus spake to the men on the road to Emmaus concerning these very prophecies. Look over in Luke 24. Begin with verse 25. It says, "Then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." There are over 300 prophecies of the Old Testament fulfilled by Christ, fulfilled with the establishment of the church. You know, preachers in the New Testament often made reference to these prophecies about Christ. In Acts chapter 2, during Peter's sermon on Pentecost, in verse 23, he said, "Him," speaking of Jesus, "being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." In Acts chapter 3 and verse 18, the second recorded sermon of Peter, he says, "But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." And then in Galatians chapter 4, Paul addresses the topic and says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." And so once again, he refers to the prophecies of old, that God's prophecies all came into fulfillment in Jesus Christ. So Simeon saw fulfilled prophecy. Simeon also saw a light for the Gentiles, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles in verse 32. You know, prior to the coming of Christ, the world was in darkness, the symbol of ignorance and misery, darkness. Christ would bring light to all nations, the symbol of life, of growth, of knowledge and happiness. Again, this is probably a reference to the word of Isaiah And Isaiah 49 in verse 6 says, "And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servants to raise up the tribes of Jacob, to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee a light to the Gentiles, that thou mightest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth." You know, here is a clear prophecy that in that light that the Jews would bring forth, would all the nations of the earth find blessing, would all the nations of the earth find salvation. In Isaiah 51, in verse 4, again there it says, "Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make judgment to rest for a light of the people." And so once again, he saw a light for the Gentiles. He saw a light for all nations. In this child, Simeon saw salvation for all mankind. You know, Isaiah prophesied the Gentiles would seek the Messiah. In Isaiah 11 and verse 10, there it says, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign to the people. It shall be to it shall the Gentiles seek, and out and his rest shall be glorious." And so the Gentiles would seek that light of Christ. Christ's light revealed the Father to the Gentiles. You know, that Simeon should prophesy in this way is an evidence of the large spiritual knowledge given to him, since even the apostles were slow to grasp the fullness of Christ's worldwide mission. You know, Christ had a mission to the world. He told his apostles, "Go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature," and yet they still did not understand that every creature included the Gentiles. You know, Christ had a mission to the world, prophesied in the Scriptures. In Psalms 98, verses 2 and 3, it says there, "The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of heaven. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel, and all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." And so once again, the prophecy of Psalm 98 verses 2 and 3 shows the universal nature of the gospel as a light to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. And Isaiah 52 in verse 10, there it says, "The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." You know, Simeon grasped that this child is a light to bring salvation even to the Gentiles, something even the apostles did not know later on. And finally, as Simeon saw the child, he held that child in his arms, he saw glory for Israel. Again, notice verse 32. "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel." You know, Israel was doubly glorified in Jesus, in that God chose this people to receive the divine Son of God. Also in that Jesus, as a Jew, presented the world with a picture of perfect manhood. In his divinity and his humanity, Jesus glorified Israel. He was the perfect man. He lived a perfect life. He was sinless perfection in everything he did. The embodiment of God's truth and God's wisdom. The very image of God in the flesh. You know, the angel, you know, he told Mary about the rule that Christ would have in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 30. It says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." He set up a kingdom that would never be destroyed, Daniel chapter 2 talks about. Jesus is the fulfillment of that. You notice what Paul told the Jews in Antioch in Acts chapter 13. You know, here the church in Antioch, established there in Antioch of Syria, was the first church that we know of that was composed almost entirely of Gentiles. And so Paul says in verse 42, says here, when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy for everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I've set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be salvation unto the ends of the earth. And then he quotes there from Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 6. And so when Simeon saw the babe in arms, he saw salvation. He saw the fulfillment of prophecy. He saw a light to the Gentiles. He saw glory for Israel. You know, before he even said a word, he took the infant in his arms. Again, notice verse 28. Before he said anything, and then took him up in his arms and blessed God. He blessed God. Can you imagine how that godly man felt at that moment? The thing he's been waiting for his entire life, patiently waiting for, knowing that here he is in advanced age and God had made that promise to him, knowing he would see the fulfillments. And here it is, that moment he's holding that baby in his arms. What a privilege. You know, what a privilege it was. Jesus said if a man would love him and keep his word, he and his father would come in and make their abode with him. John 14 and verse 23. John 14 verse 23. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, Brother J.W. McGarvey, he wrote, only the eye which sees Christ is satisfied with seeing. To one who has Christ in his arms and salvation before his eyes, the world looks poor indeed, and the loss of it appears gain. It reflects what Paul had to say in Philippians 1 and verse 21. Where he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, ultimately, Simeon saw salvation for all mankind. He saw that Christ child that would live that perfect life, that would set that perfect example for us to follow, that would die that terrible death to take our place upon the cross. He saw all of that, and he had peace with God. The one who died to make peace for us. Tonight, if you're here and you are in your sins, you are still at enmity with God. There is no peace for you. The only way to have peace is to embrace the Prince of Peace. Believe that He is, that He died for your sins upon the cross. Confess that belief, repent of your sins, be baptized to have your sins washed away, and arise to walk in the newness of life. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10 tells us. Tonight, if you're here and you're subject to the invitation, would you please let us know as together we stand and as we sing.